talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you great.
Okay, perfect.
How's it going?
It's going really well. I just finished up with session this morning. We did a goalkeeper beep test. Can't say I've ever ran that before, and I can't say I ever want to run it again. But my legs, I was like, oh boy.
So is the goalkeeper beep test different than the regular beep test, or is it just you guys doing it?
No, very much so. Like, we're not, like, you know, like, they go, I don't know how many yards it is, like, maybe 20 yards. They go down, they run, they cut, come back. Goalkeepers, you start, like, laterally. You shuffle, shuffle, backpedal, sprint. Same, and by the time they get to the half, or where, like, their cones are, we have to be through it.
Wow.
So, it is, I was like, oh, but it was good. We did it. We made it through.
While they're doing the regular beep test, you're doing a different pattern.
Yes.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to complain. I was like, goalkeeper, let's just do a session. I'm like, give me a ball, but please don't make me run.
That's so interesting. I've never heard of that. That's cool. But also,
yeah, I mean, it's applicable, which I don't know what's worse. Like the fact that it's applicable. So it's like harder or like, at least they're not making us run.
You goalies, you guys go through a lot. I give you a lot of I could never do that.
Thanks for
I could
that.
Never go laterally fast either.
I don't get how y'all run.
How is preseason going? How's it been?
It's been good. We've just been kind of getting through testing, you know, that first week. It is a new team, so they're trying to get all like the baseline and everything going. So yeah, just like a lot of testing. You know, my hamstrings, Nordics, they're sore and stuff. But today was the first day we got on the ball a bit after the beep test. And then tomorrow is the first day we'll play. So I know the team is, and myself, is very, very excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. And how is it being on a new team? I'm sure it's like just such an adjustment and just having a ton of new teammates, new coaches, everything new, like at the same time. What is that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's like overwhelming. Everybody's new. Like we're trying to learn each other like off the field. And then of course on the field. So like, you can tell like there's going to be some kinks that we like need to work out. But in terms of like culture and stuff, like, I think it's really cool. Like we're all coming in fresh, just like really hungry, excited to like create a new environment and a culture. And I think everyone on this team like really values and understands that opportunity. And everyone here is really cool. So far.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's awesome. And you're playing back in your home state. What is that like?
Hometown. It's really nice. It's fun. I actually tried to play here the first time because I used to train with them in college. And so it's just like a full circle moment. No, but it's nice. My family's here. I have a niece and a nephew that's, you know, they get to come watch the games and I get to watch them grow up and just like being home and a quick pop over to my parents or to my sister's house. It's really special. I think a lot of players would like to play in their hometown and not everybody does. So it is special and I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Anna.
I was going to say, where's the furthest you had to be compared to home throughout your career so far?
Denmark. That was far and cold and dark and amazing and beautiful. I traveled Europe and thoroughly enjoyed my opportunity out there. But yeah, no, Denmark is the farthest. In the States, I think Florida was the one far from me. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that every pro player should do a bout of playing overseas in another country?
I love this question and I'm so biased, but yes, like I think there is so like, one, it's a sick lifestyle. You get to go, you get to travel Europe, you get to get out of like America, you get to see a new culture, like wherever you go. And then also the football over there is different. So like when I was in Denmark, I know it differs from like France or, you know, even Australia or wherever. They're very like tactical and they have a very specific style of play, like building out of the back. And so you just like, especially from like the college perspective and like playing 4 years at a university in the Pac-12 and then going overseas, I learned like a brand new way of football. And for me personally, I fell in love with the game a little more because I'm like, oh, this is the football I know. But yeah, I think there are so many amazing things that can come out of it. Like, you grow as a person and of course like a player, and you come back and you just have like more experience on your resume. And I personally think that anybody who goes overseas and comes back is a lot cooler. Humbles you a bit. It did humble me a bit. I was like, I'm really out here alone, but it's cool. You find family away from home. But yeah, I highly recommend it.
Ups your cool level just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, just your social status just goes up a bit.
Yeah, you must learn so much about yourself. So that is really cool. I feel like that's an experience that you'll remember mm-hmm. forever, and you've grown so much from. So I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing like biking in a foreign country where you have no idea what you're doing and what the signs say. And you're like, Denmark is like built for biking. Mm-hmm. So the first time I went into Denmark and into the Copenhagen, I'm like on the bike in rush hour bike traffic, not even traffic. Like, I'm sitting there looking left and right and I'm like, this is scary. I had to get off my bike and I ended up just walking to the train station because I was like so overwhelmed. I was like, well, I'm growing.
I can't even imagine. Like, yeah. Biking in New York City was stressful. So I can't even imagine, like, oh, there's so many bikers in Denmark. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how people get around. So that must have been intimidating. But yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and how do you feel like you've grown as a player from that? I know it's different. You said it was more tactical. So did your game change when you came back? Did you bring things back with you that you learned?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question. So I would say I've always been good with my feet. Like, I've always loved the ball at my feet. I like to play with it. Like, I love like hopping in rondos and playing. Like, if you put me on the field, like, I love it. I used to play field till I was 14. So I went over there. I was like the third center back. Like, I would be just a little bit, like maybe 5-10 yards behind the center back, like building up, and we would build out of the six. Like, I'm not even kidding, I would be on my goal line receiving a ball, pressure would be coming, and I would like have to find the six or the center back or skip the pressure, and they forced me to do it. Then the coaches were cool. They were like, hey, look, if you mess up, that's on us. And so they took the pressure off, but they like had a specific style they wanted to play, and then they made us play it, and it was uncomfortable, and there was a lot of growing pains. But I would say just like the ability to perform under high pressure and remain calm, especially with the ball at feet and like a fast forward coming, and just being able to execute a pass. And then tactically, and just understanding the game. I had a really amazing coach, Carmelina Moscato. She's playing the Canadian national team and then coached at T Grace. And now she does like reporting. She like brought a new love for the game for me and just helped me view it in a completely different light and just like understand it. And now, like, every time I watch a game, like, I can break it down by line by line. And so bringing that back, especially as like a goalkeeper and trying to like figure out where we need to be and help my teammates and just communicate with them, those are two of the biggest things I learned. I definitely, over there.
Her name sounds really familiar. I feel like mm-hmm. we've definitely seen her play before. It's really cool.
Legend.
It's mm-hmm. so nice to have a coach that like grows your love for the game and that you respect, mm-hmm. they respect you and everything. So that's a really nice feeling.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I think it's I don't know. It can be kind of rare, which is sad mm-hmm. to have that kind of, yeah, relationship and have a coach, you know, that has like the same care and like respect for you as you have back for them. But I truly feel very lucky, because I know that's not the case, and that hasn't been the case on every team that I've been at. I haven't had a coach every year where I'm like, okay, I confide in you, you instill the love of the game for me, and it's like a mutual two-way street there. Yeah,
definitely. So yes. Did you like the coach that put you in goal? Was that your decision or was that a coach's decision when you were 14?
Well, so that was my decision, actually. This is a funny story. So I don't even know. I think I started playing goalkeeper because we kept getting scored on. And I was like, okay, like all due respect to this girl, I was like, anybody could like do better. Like, we got to go. So the first half I'd be on the field and then they put me in second half and I'd like save the ball. And I just remember like loving it and just like diving around and being crazy. And it was just fun. And so I told my dad, I was like, hey, I don't even know how old I was. I was probably like 10 at this point. Like, hey, I love goalkeeping. Like, can you put me in some extra training, whatever? And he was like, sure, but you are not coming off of the field. You will develop your foot skills. Like, you will not be just a goalkeeper. And I used to be so mad at him. And literally up until the point, so 2021, up until 2021, I didn't end up thanking this man for this until then, until I went to Denmark and I was like, oh my, like the way the game of football is currently going, keepers need to be able to have the ball at their feet. They're the first line. They need to be able to distribute, clean, connect and stuff. And I didn't know that, but he had a vision. And so I would play half on the field, half in goal until I was 14, and I hated him for it. And now I thank him for it.
That's a very forward way of thinking. I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. I feel like not a lot of parents would think that way. Or coaches or anyone back then. So that's impressive.
Yeah. I know. I don't know. Maybe he just like wanted me to like be fit and run. Maybe that was like his vision. And he just like didn't want me to get lazy in goal, which that's such a bad misconception because goalkeeping is not lazy. It's a very hard position in and of itself. Yeah.
Absolutely. So how do you feel like you're now with Utah, how do you feel that the team is going to do? Like, how do you feel with your other fellow goalkeepers? Is that, I'm sure that's a new experience too, because we know goalkeepers, the keeper union is such a unique situation. So far, I know it's early, but can you tell us anything that makes you guys unique?
I think we are just a young, hungry team. And like blue collar, and we're all just so excited to like play and for this new opportunity. We're all coming from various different clubs, but we all have like the love and the passion for the game. And I think that that's why a lot of us came here, is for Amy says the very specific style of play that she's going to play. And I think today was like the first day, I guess, we trained. And it's just, everyone's happy to be there. We're excited. Yeah, like new faces, new everything. But like we are just a young, excited team. Like happy to be here. Sorry. And the goalkeeper union, it's really great. I think it'll be really competitive, which that's what we want. And that's what I like, because I think it pushes both of us and all of us and all three of us to our best performance. And I think at the same time, we all have a great understanding of how the keeper position works. And we do provide that support. We've only trained like one day, but it's a really positive environment so far. And so I am looking forward to the continuation of this year for sure.
That's awesome. And can you tell us what it's like having Amy? It's funny hearing it because I'm just used to A-Rod. Tell us what it's like having her as a coach. Because I mean, she was one of our favorite players. Like, she's amazing to watch. So I would love to hear more about that.
Well, it's funny because A-Rod, I know her by A-Rod too. And so now that she's my coach, I'm like, Amy, coach. She doesn't like coach, I don't think. But we used to play together. And so for me, it is an interesting dynamic because I'm like, I want to shoot the shit with you. And at the same time, there is that like professional barrier where it's like, no, like you're my coach. Like we got to, you know, get our shit done. I get it. But she's A-Rod. She wants to win. She's intense. And she also was a player, so she has that perspective, so she cares, so she knows. And so far, yeah, she's doing really good. And I think that she's going to hold us to a high, high standard because that's what she holds for herself. But for me personally, I'm excited to have a female coach, someone who actually played the game in the league and understands it, because she personally knows what the level is and what the standard is and what needs to be done. And also, yeah, she's gonna push each one of us there and create that community for us and that teamwork to get there. And I really like that because can't find that everywhere.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not only having a female coach in the league, but also having one that was in the league and experienced the frustrations of the league and the unfairness in certain parts of the league and the pieces
for
of
sure.
Exactly, yeah, run well. What do you think? Like, or even just for yourself personally, if you were going to be a coach, how would you approach coaching differently, having been a female that plays in the league? Like, and also, how do you think that it will be similar for her too? Like, will your approach and communication with players be different? You know, it's hard. I only ever had male coaches growing up. I don't even know what it's like to have a female coach. So I'm just curious your perspective on it.
That's actually a really good question. I haven't thought too much about this, but the first thing that comes to my mind about communication is transparency and the way they communicate. Like, you can get the point across in a very respectful, criticizing way, but also be like respectful. And also, I think one thing, like playing time, for example, like I think the transparency, like she knows, like, okay, like, let's be honest where you're at. And when people go to feedback, like get feedback from coaches, sometimes coaches will give you like a roundabout way and not really give you anything tangible. Like, oh, you know, you're doing really great. Just keep up the work. And then you're not on the field on the weekend. And so I think one thing that she'll incorporate is that transparency. She gets it and she knows that it's not beneficial to players to come into the office and be like, hey, like, I want to get better. What do you see? Like, you're watching me every day. You're watching me play. And she's like, yeah, 100% X, Y, Z. This is what we look for. This is our standard. This is our values. This is our team. And this is what you need to do to get there. So, I mean, and at least if I was a coach, if I were to take that, I would just create a culture that is based on transparency, complete and honest transparency. So all players feel valued, respected, and feel like they're getting the most out of the training, whatever their role on the team might be, whether that's you're playing 90 minutes or whether that's, you know, you're going in and you're a game changer, or like a goalkeeper position, you know, like if you are the second string, then you got to know your role immediately. And yeah.
What a wild concept, transparency with coaches.
Yeah.
Imagine if every seems coach to was like that.
Like, imagine. I mean, I feel like it would just create a better culture and you'd be able to get more out of your players.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love that she's transparent, giving positive critique, because that's not something that a lot of coaches can do. Mm-hmm. And just being honest. So that's exciting, mm-hmm, that you guys are going to have that with her. So
yeah,
I love that.
I'm excited too.
Alana, any other questions before we do rapid fire?
We'll hit some rapid fire for sure. But I want to just ask one more question, because we usually, you know, talk about hardships or obstacles that players have had to overcome along their journey. And everyone somehow has had an entirely different story. It's never the same thing twice. So I'm just curious, what is one obstacle that you've had to overcome just throughout your playing career at whatever age that has made you into the player you are today? And you know, maybe just someone will be able to relate to your specific journey.
Sure. Okay, my story, that's how I like to tell it. I wasn't drafted. I was just picked up by the Royals. And so I've kind of just been a player who's been under the radar for a long time and who has had to like work. Like I've had to like work my ass off to just get through the league. I've been on 5 different professional teams. So I've literally moved every single year of my professional life. And I've showed, like, I'm not like a big name. I'm just a person who can like show up and put my work forward and my skills forward. And, I've had to show up in every single environment, regardless if people knew me or not, and just show them who I am. And that's not always easy to do. Like, I've literally started as like behind Casey Murphy, Michelle Beto's at Seattle Reign, and they are amazing. That was like the best way to come into the league. I couldn't have had a better GKU. And they just showed me the way, like, we're really encouraging, really positive, encouraging me, like, you got a great career, like, keep working and you can do it. And then I was behind Abby Smith and Barney, and that was another great, great way. My second year, a great goalkeeper union. So I feel like I've just like been behind some of the best goalkeepers and the players, like legends. And that's really helped me. They've guided their way. And then, yeah, my story pretty much is just, I'm kind of a blue collar person who just shows up and plays and has a love and a passion for the game. And just kind of, I mean, that's what you got to do as like a goalkeeper. You have to kind of fight. You do, like, I've been the third string, the second string, and the first string, and somehow all in one season. And it's not an easy position, but especially to the goalkeepers who maybe like weren't drafted or aren't on anybody's radar. Like everybody, like they know how it goes, but just showing up and like connecting with teammates and coaches and just like putting your best foot forward. I think that's like my best advice. And also like the mental side of things with goalkeeper. I think that through my experiences, I think that I have developed a very strong mental, I don't even know how to say it, like a mentality, just because if you are sitting behind a one, and you're number two, and maybe you feel like you should play, or the coach, you know, like whatever it is, like that's a hard position to be in. But the ability to like show up and push that aside every single day and be a professional, I think that there's a lot of value in that. And I feel like I've gained a lot of value through my experiences, although it hasn't been the easiest journey. And I'm choosing to like reframe that and take that as like my greatest like opportunity and strength. So I guess my, like, I mean, like to anybody else who can relate, like goalkeeper is a tough position. I get it, but like you work hard and show up, there's room for you, you know?
Yeah, I do feel like from the out, as an outsider, that that is just one of the most difficult positions, because you cannot just show up to practice and fly under the radar for practice the way that, you know, I could as a forward. I could not have a great practice, but my overall, like, coach's understanding of who I was as a player would kind of stay there. But like a goalkeeper, it's, you're literally there's one spot to fight for, and you're either that spot or you're not. And you have to show up every freaking day. You can't let off the gas at all. And I do feel like that has to be very mentally very tiring. And yes, in every position, you shouldn't ever let off the gas. But there's something a little different about it. Like, I don't envy you for that. Having to show up like that every day. Seriously, it's not for the weak-minded. Like you were saying, your foundation on how you feel about yourself as a player has to be so strong, because for a full season, someone will tell you you're number two every day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yep. Yeah, you get it. Yeah. Like, you just have to show up.
Yeah, it's a specific, you know, frustration and obstacle and mindset that you have to have, that I think not everyone's cut out to be a goalkeeper at all.
You did mention, like, you have to have passion for the game, which of course, but do you have any passions off the field?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot. I've recently gotten into video gaming. I've always liked video games, but this year I bought an Xbox for Harry Potter Legacy. I know it's like super nerdy, but I have like fallen in love with like the aspect of like gaming. That's fun.
That's passions good, that good workout for your fingers too. I feel like that's
great hand-eye coordination.
You're just exercising more.
Yeah, you know, and it's good brain work too. It's like a lot of like problem solving and stuff. I love that we're like talking about it. I'm so nerdy about it.
Me and Alana playing video games. We like went to like the FIFA when the women joined the sport, like the game. We went and played it with like professional gamers, and it was very embarrassing.
It was mortifying. Yeah, it was really not bad. Games. And I loved video games growing up, but it was like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. It was never like
Tony Hawk. Yeah, I'm not like a hard gamer. Like, I'm not trying to get online. Like, if someone's like, let's play Call of Duty, like, I'm probably the first one dying. Like, I'll still play it because I think it's fun. It's a good way to connect with friends. But like, there are some serious gamers out there. I don't envy that experience. I too would be humbled.
You're a leisurely gamer. Nice.
Yeah, leisure gamer. Like, I just, it's a great pastime. It's a good way to just like zone out a little bit. Other passions, I like to snowboard, but I can't do that right now, and I'm kind of scared. But when I retire, I'm gonna be on the slopes, baby. I'm gonna be in Park City at Brighton here in Utah, and I'm gonna be on the slopes.
Yeah, that's in all your contracts that you can't ski or snowboard, right?
Yep. And I haven't since playing in the league, and also just like trying to be safe and stuff. But I'm ready for whenever I retire. I'll
be back on that bunny hill when you retire.
I'll be so sore. Maybe I don't want to snowboard anymore.
All right. Jump into some rapid fire questions.
Here we go. Let's do it.
All right. What's one Olympic sport that you wouldn't come in last in? It could be skiing. It could be snowboarding.
You know what? I am going to say snowboarding. I think I would like be like middle of the pack.
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah.
Like a downhill or like the jumps, like the half pipe?
Probably the downhill. The jumps I haven't done so long. I'm like literally scared of the thought.
All right. Safe choice. Pretty good. Right. Middle of the pack. Nice. I only have to be second to last in that.
Yeah.
All right. What is one thing that you can't travel without on an away game trip?
Question. I travel with suckers and my Switch. Can't go without them. Yep.
What kind of suckers?
My favorite is the Starburst ones, the ones that are like hard and the soft on the inside, but I can't always find that. So like, those are so good.
Walgreens. Walgreens just really rips you off, man.
Yeah, you got to go to like Walmart or something. Target has cheap ones. Those are really good. Or Smarty Suckers. Those are really, I don't know why I love those ever since I was a kid.
If you could have dinner with any athlete, who would it be?
This is a good question. I just think Lindsey Vonn, like, she's a skater. I didn't realize, like, I like winter sports like this, but I feel like she's had the coolest career, has done like the coolest stuff, and is just like a rad person. Yeah, she's also had some like crazy wipeouts. I bet she has some funny stories on the slope. So I feel like she'd be a vibe to like sit down with for sure.
Definitely.
All right. What movie do you quote or reference way more than the average person?
Bridesmaids. That is my favorite movie, hands freaking down. Like, that
never gets old. Never
gets old. Yep. So funny.
What line do you quote the most?
Probably the Jordan Almonds one. Like, in fact, Helen, I'm hungry.
That is one movie that I quote to myself a lot too. Like, I'll say it to myself. Like, if I am going for a run and I have to go to the bathroom, I'm like, she's shitting in the street. She's going to shit.
She's shitting in the street.
Or I'll say, that's fresh every time I have
fresh lemonade or anything. Yep. That is so quotable. What's the food that you could eat every day and not get sick of?
One food I could eat every, this is a really good question. I feel like I just talked about this. Does it have to be a specific food or can it be like brunch?
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I really like brunch. Like I could eat brunch for like every meal, like okay. death row meal, to be honest with you. I don't know. What?
Are you breakfasting at brunch or are you lunching at brunch?
Like lunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's like last meal on earth, death row meal. Bring me like 5-course meal of brunch. Like, I want my latte, I want my waffles, I want my eggs Benedict, I want my breakfast potatoes, you know, maybe a mimosa. I don't know. Yeah. Throw it in there.
That sounds great.
Unlimited mimosas on death row. Yes.
Bottomless.
It never ends until you're done.
Never ends. Yeah, exactly. Thought. That's the way to go out. Yeah, you get it.
All right. What is something on your bucket list? Your bucket list or your soccer bucket list? Do you have something that you just need to do or achieve one day?
On my soccer bucket list, I want to score a goal, like, as a goalkeeper. Like, I just want to, like, come in and, like, on the corner kicks, you know, it's, like, the last hurrah. I feel like I've seen other goalkeepers do that. And I'm like, they just, like, they could retire now. Like, good for them. Like, they've scored. I think that's it.
And the last question, what's your biggest soccer prop?
So many. Okay, well, since we're talking about it today, my biggest soccer girl problem is when they make goalkeepers run. I will never not complain about it, because why am I running? Like, there's no point. I don't care if you need a baseline. I don't care. I'm going to be sore in places you don't want me to be sore in. There is no point. I'm going to come in dead freaking last every time. They just want to see us suffer. I'm convinced. I don't know what strength and conditioning coach needs to hear this. It's mine. But please stop making us freaking run with the team. Like, we are not runners.
Don't need you winded. We don't need you stuck in air.
Exactly.
I agree with that. Well, Carly, thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun. And I'm so glad we got to, like, get to chat with you and learn more about you. Excited for you to be back in Utah. We can't wait to watch you play.
Thank you so much. I love your podcast. I love your page. It's freaking hilarious. It's so relatable. So thank you for having me on. This is actually, this is one of my bucket list moments. Be on Soccer Girl. Why didn't I say that?
That is an honor. That is an honor.
No, it's an honor to be on here. It's fun chatting with y'all. Thanks for the content.
Talk soon. Bye.
All right.